A climate where the truth is heard. Now you might be wondering, how do you motivate people with brutal facts? Doesn't motivation flow chiefly from a compelling vision? The answer, surprisingly, is no. Not because vision is unimportant, but because expending energy trying to motivate people is largely a waste of time. One of the dominant themes that runs throughout this book is that if you successfully implement its findings, you will not need to spend time and energy motivating people. If you have the right people on the bus, they will be self-motivated. The real question then becomes, how do you manage in such a way as not to demotivate people? And one of the single most demotivating actions you can take is to hold out false hopes, soon to be swept away by events. Yes, leadership is about vision, but leadership is equally about creating a climate where the truth is heard and the brutal facts confronted. There's a huge difference between the opportunity to have your say and the opportunity to be heard. The good to great leaders understood this distinction, creating a culture wherein people had a tremendous opportunity to be heard, and ultimately, for the truth to be heard. How do you create a climate where the truth is heard? We offer four basic practices. 1. Lead with questions, not answers. In 1973, 1 year after he assumed CEO responsibility from his father, Alan Wurzel's company stood at the brink of bankruptcy, dangerously close to violation of its loan agreements. At the time, the company, then named Ward's, not to be confused with Montgomery Ward, was a hodgepodge of appliance and hi-fi stores with no unifying concept. Over the next 10 years, Wurzel and his team not only turned the company around, but also created the Circuit City concept and laid the foundations for a stunning record of results, beating the market 22 times from its transition date in 1982 to January 1, 2000. When Alan Wurzel started the long traverse from near bankruptcy to these stellar results, he began with a remarkable answer to the question of where to take the company. I don't know. Unlike leaders such as Roy Ash of Addressograph, Wurzel resisted the urge to walk in with the answer. Instead, once he put the right people on the bus, he began not with answers, but with questions. Alan was a real spark, said a board member. He had an ability to ask questions that were just marvelous. We had some wonderful debates in the boardroom. It was never just a dog and pony show where you would just listen and then go to lunch. Indeed, Wurzel stands as one of the few CEOs in a large corporation who put more questions to his board members than they put to him. He used the same approach with his executive team, constantly pushing and probing and prodding with questions. Each step along the way, Wurzel would keep asking questions until he had a clear picture of reality and its implications. They used to call me the prosecutor because I would home in on a question, said Wurzel. You know, like a bulldog, I wouldn't let go until I understood why. Like Wurzel, leaders in each of the good to great transitions operated with a somewhat Socratic style. Furthermore, they used questions for one and only one reason, to gain understanding. They didn't use questions as a form of manipulation. Don't you agree with me on that? Or as a way to blame or put down others. Why did you mess this up? When we asked the executives about their management team meetings during the transition era, they said that they spent much of the time just trying to understand. The good to great leaders made particularly good use of informal meetings, where they'd meet with groups of managers and employees with no script, agenda, or set of action items to discuss. Instead, they would start with questions like, "So, what's on your mind? Can you tell me about that? Can you help me understand? What should we be worried about?" These non-agenda meetings became a forum where current realities tended to bubble to the surface. Leading from good to great does not mean coming up with the answers and then motivating everyone to follow your messianic vision. It means having the humility to grasp the fact that you do not yet understand enough to have the answers, and then to ask the questions that will lead to the best possible insights.